And you can open your Bibles to the 33rd Psalm. And we're going to be reading from Psalm 33 and verse 4 in just a few minutes to introduce our lesson today. Fortunately, we have been blessed with another wonderful, beautiful, cool spring morning. And hopefully, within the next week or two, we'll be able to get the air conditioner and heater working again. It's kind of nice to have this cool breeze. And it sort of reminds me of trips to Jamaica and have no air conditioning. And it's hot. And we literally sing to the neighborhood. In fact, not only that, but because of the sound system, we freak to the neighborhood. And a lot of time people are curious and they may kind of walk in and just kind of see what's going on because they hear us singing and preaching. And hopefully within the next week or two, the wall behind me will come down. And I would like to urge parents to please keep your children from back there because there's a lot of loose insulation, loose nails, in fact, exposed nails. It would be a good place to get hurt. So try to keep them from going back there. And hopefully that wall will be coming down in a few weeks. We're going to be having a lot of changes. This room is going to become considerably larger for a while until we finally, of course, fulfill and complete the plan of a nursery and an office on the backside of this room. And I want you to think about what advantages that's going to be. That God has certainly blessed us with an opportunity to enlarge this room. And I hope that all of us will make a commitment to take advantage of those opportunities by trying to bring others to the Lord and to bringing Him to His truth. In the 33rd Psalm, the psalmist said in verse 4, he says, "For the word of the Lord is right, and all His work done in truth." And then there is another psalm in Psalm 119 and verse 151. Psalm 119 and verse 151, where the psalmist also speaks of truth, and he says, "You are near, O Lord, and all your commandments are truth. The sum of your commandments are truth." Vine says concerning truth, he says, truth is conforming to reality. He says it is the manifested, veritable essence of a matter. I think in simple terms, truth is the actual state of things, or as they really are. And by God's provision, we have been richly blessed with the opportunity to study and to obey His truth, to learn of who we are, to evaluate our lives in the light of His Word, to evaluate what we have done. The privilege of believing in Jesus and responding to the gospel and living by the gospel, there is no better provision than that. And we ought to be able to rejoice in the opportunity of walking according to truth. Today what I want to talk to you about is the blessings of truth. And obviously I don't have the PowerPoint today, so we're just going to do this old-fashioned. The power has been apparently cut off to the projector. But I want to talk to you today about the blessings of truth, and there are five things that I want us to consider. The first one is found in a very familiar passage in the Gospel of John, the 8th chapter, and the 32nd verse in John chapter 8, and in verse 32, where we find this very familiar statement. Jesus said, "And you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." The first point is that the blessing of truth is freedom from sin. The blessing of truth is the freedom from sin. In fact, in the context of the statement recorded in verse 32, look down in the 34th verse, where Jesus answered and said, "Most assuredly I say to you, whoever commits sin is a slave of sin. And a slave of sin does not abide in the house forever, but a son abides forever. Therefore, if the Son makes you free, you will be free indeed." What Satan gives you is bondage. But what God gives you is freedom from the bondage of sin. The only escape that we have is because God has told us the truth about our condition and about the privilege of responding to Him and responding to His Word so that we can be delivered from the bondage of sin. In the book of Galatians, the 5th chapter, in verse 1, the Apostle Paul refers to this very idea in Galatians chapter 5 and verse 1 when he says, "Stand fast, therefore, in the liberty by which Christ has made us free, and do not be entangled again with the yoke of bondage." The privilege and the blessing of truth is that no matter what sin I have committed, there is relief in God. And there is relief in walking according to God's will. God's gift is freedom. The second blessing of truth is stability. The second blessing of truth is stability. One of my favorite psalms is Psalm 15. Look over at the 15th psalm. And in Psalm 15, notice first of all that the psalmist begins with a couple of questions. "Lord, who may abide in your tabernacle? Who may dwell in your holy hill?" The essence of the question is, who can have fellowship with God? And then he begins to enumerate in this rather wonderful, eloquent, poetic fashion. He describes the character and life of those who can have fellowship with God. And then the concluding statement made in the latter part of verse 5 is this wonderful idea: "He who does these things shall never be moved." My house is built on that old black dirt, the old clay. When it's wet, you can't dig it because it sticks to the shovel. And when it's dry, it's so hard it'll blunt the end of the shovel. And unfortunately, that work dirt shifts a lot. And in spite of all the efforts that I've tried to make to stabilize the foundation of that house with water, soaker hoses and all, I have a crack in the foundation of that house. Now, the former house was built on limestone. And the lesson is that it is better to build your house upon a solid rock. The psalmist said that the unshakable foundation that will help you get through the challenges of life is by having these characteristics. And in verse 2, notice that the psalmist said, "He who walks uprightly and those who work righteousness." That is, those who walk according to truth will have this inner contentment that no matter what the circumstances will give them this sense. Matthew, the 7th chapter, the very concluding statement made in the Sermon on the Mount in Matthew chapter 7 and beginning with verse 24. You remember the story and the song that we sung about it, where Jesus said, "Therefore, whoever hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it did not fall, for it was founded on the rock. But everyone who hears these sayings of mine and does not do them will be like a foolish man who builds his house in the sand. And the rain descended, and the floods came, and the wind blew and beat on that house, and it fell, and great was its fall." Where are you building your house? Are you building upon the unshakable foundation that no matter what may come, no matter what challenges you may have in this life, there is that binding, that rebar in the foundation, that solid foundation that God's offered of walking according to His Word? You know, there are many people that have faced a number of odds that have made it because they know that God is on their side. So the second blessing is stability. The third blessing of truth is faith-free in verses 3 and 4. I like much of Solomon's proverb because a lot of it is written to the father, to the young man. I like that concept. But notice what he says in Proverbs chapter 3. He says, "Let not mercy and truth forsake you. Bind them around your neck, write them on the tablet of your heart, and so favor and high esteem. And so find favor in high esteem in the sight of God and man. Now, I don't want to dupe you. If you follow God's will, you know, God does promise persecution. A lot of times I ask young men this question, having read the statement. You have car trouble. And you've got a command, you've got a mechanic on one corner and another on the other. The other was known as honest, and the other is known for his dishonesty. Which one are you going to go to? You see, Solomon says, if you walk according to God's wisdom, the picture in Israel was not very pretty. In fact, in the 22nd verse, it says that Eli was very old, and he had heard everything his son did to all Israel, and how they lay with the women who assembled at the door of the tabernacle of meeting. I mean, it was just sin in the open. But there was this very refreshing and very attractive man that is mentioned in the 26th verse. And it says, and the child Samuel grew in stature and in favor with both the Lord and men. Samuel was very attractive. You remember in the Gospel of Luke, the 2nd chapter, the same observation was made about the child Jesus. This was about the time that the parents had found Jesus missing, and they found him, and he was found in the temple. But in the 2nd chapter of Luke, and verse 52, it says, and Jesus increased in wisdom and stature, and in favor with God and man. Of Titus, without reading the entire context, just observe that in the book of Titus chapter 2, we find that Paul speaks to four classes of individuals. The older men, the older women, the younger women, and the young men. In each of those four classes, he described the kind of character that is becoming of sound doctrine. The kind of character that it manifested when people do God's will. And notice what he says. He says that they, verse 10, may adorn or ornament the doctrine of God our Savior in all things. That when the old man, the older men are temperate, that is, they're in control, and they're sound in faith and love and in patience. And when the older women are not gossips, they are teachers of good things. And when the young women love their husbands and love their children and are discreet and chaste and reverence and incorruptibility, and they are sound in speech, this becomes attractive. People are attracted to that. And I'm telling you, the more and more this world changes, and more people follow the ungodliness of the world, the more attractive God's people become. In fact, another statement made in the book of Romans, the 14th chapter, that I think is worthy of our consideration in this matter. In Romans chapter 14, the Apostle Paul is instructing the brethren in Rome on how to behave themselves toward one another. Without going into a great deal of detail, the Apostle Paul says in the 16th verse beginning, Romans 14, 16, therefore do not let your good be evil spoken of, or spoken of as evil. For the kingdom of God is not eating and drinking, but righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Spirit. For he who serves Christ in these things is acceptable to God and approved by men. That are things of peace. That is, learn how to get along in these matters. For he who serves Christ is acceptable to God and approved by men. Have you ever been a part of a church where you didn't want to invite anyone to worship? I hate to say it, I have. Come to a Bible class and they fuss at each other, at each other's throats, and you just are ashamed to even invite anyone. I'm thankful to say that's not the case here. I hope it continues that way. I know it will. Because God's people, when they learn to get along, it can be attractive. You have favor with God and man. The fourth blessing of truth is spiritual growth. You see, spiritual growth kind of comes in spurts. Our life is in danger of permanent decline. And who is the head, Christ. When we speak the truth in love, the body is edified, and therefore we grow spiritually. I wonder how much that spiritual growth really means to you. What does it really mean to you? What kind of sacrifices are you willing to make sure that you're on the rise, heading in the right direction? You know, in the book of 2 Peter chapter 1, in 2 Peter chapter 1 and in verse 5, Peter says, 2 Peter 1:5, "For this very reason, giving all diligence, add to your faith virtue, to virtue knowledge, to knowledge self-control, to self-control perseverance, to perseverance godliness, to godliness brotherly kindness, to brotherly kindness love." Then he says, "For if these things are yours and abound, you will neither be barren nor unfruitful in the knowledge of our Lord."